following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, Fran Healy here. At Haggar, they take pride in over 80 years of innovation. From their work to weekend no-iron pants to their LK Life khaki collection, and now their latest innovation, introducing performance cotton slacks made from a revolutionary fabric that is wrinkle-free and stain-resistant with a bit of stretch for comfort, all for just $34.99. This may be their best pair of slacks yet. Visit a participating retailer now until March 29th, including Kohl's and JCPenney, or visit Haggar.com for more details.
Good day. This is Scott for Scott's Easy Seed. This brilliant stuff is guaranteed to grow grass in any bare patch, even if you miss a day of watering. That's because it combines the finest seed and fertilizer with a natural mulch that absorbs and holds 6 times its weight in water. That's something that ground-up paper and some other brands just can't match. To learn more, go to scotts.com. Go on, repair those bare spots with Scott's Easy Seed this weekend. Seed your lawn. Seed it.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday edition, the final Tuesday of March. Tom Dehart of the Big Ten Network is going to be joining us on today's show. And so is Giles Terzi. He is the coach of the Tri-City Storm junior hockey team that, for a couple of reasons, gets to play in the national tournament. One, of course, it's in Omaha, so travel a little bit easier. But something new for this junior hockey team that had a very good regular season and postseason tournament gets underway in Omaha tomorrow. There are 32 teams from across the country representing 20 different states that will be on hand. So we'll talk to him about that. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up on the program today as well. So if you would like to be a part of the program, there are a variety of ways to do that. Let's remind you how. You can get to us at the Dent Popper inbox with your emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can tweet us. The Twitter address is at ESPN1460 1550. Jam that all together at ESPN1460 1550. We've also got our Facebook page at ESPN Superstation, and there are many ways to get us. You can always give us a buzz too. The number you'll need for Troutman's 888-455-3776. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Tuesday edition. And Jimmy, I think Dirk Chatelain, one of his tweets overnight hit it right on the head. What a disappointing 6 days it has been for basketball in the state of Nebraska, and I don't think there's any other way to put it. Over, under, no one. If I told you 3.5, not let alone 2.5, if I give you 3.5 combined wins between the Nebraska men, women, and Creighton, I mean, how much would you have put on the overs?
Yeah.
Everything you had? I mean, just hoping Creighton didn't get beat in the first round.
Yeah, exactly. Louisiana Lafayette beats them. I guess that had been the only thing that, and, you know, if you look back at it, that was probably the only close game we had. You know, last night, did you watch the end of the game? I couldn't find it on TV, I guess, on my channel, but I could find it, you know, because they showed the last 5-6 minutes.
I should have come out with this, because here's the deal. If you have Charter and you just have the basic, now it doesn't matter. But I guess I never really thought about this. I knew it. I found it for folks that couldn't find it. For folks that couldn't find it on Saturday. If you have Direct or Dish,
you're going to get what the national. I mean, why do you think when you put the Weather Channel on, you don't get what Kearney or Grand Island or Hastings has? They give you that national thing on weather on the 8th. Well, that's unfortunately what happened when you get into these basketball tournaments. The game you want to watch, if it's not the national game, you're not going to get it. You have to go to the HD portion. So like on Direct last night, it was on 721 or 722, whatever it was. But anyway, getting back to
I did get to see the last 6 minutes or five, yeah. Whatever. That's kind of what I wanted to see anyway. And, you know, it was kind of interesting. We talk about the officials and we talk about the coaches and we talk about the players. Can you explain to me how the announcers are talking about whether this girl from BYU should miss this free throw? Did neither one of them catch it? I mean, how long can they talk about? They're up three with 2.2 seconds to go, and they keep talking about, hey, yeah, I think she might intentionally miss this. And I'm thinking, now, where do you make this? Where's the four-point shot at?
Jimmy, where, just hit a grand slam. You just hit a grand slam home run. You're exactly right. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Well, we're making fun of everybody else and the decisions they make. Neither one of them caught it. They kept talking about it forever. They never did realize it. They never did go, oh, hey, they're up three.
Yeah, and the lead guy even goes, well, once earlier this year they missed it and took it down and hit a three, and that sent it to overtime.
What are you done? They
kept... Well, yeah, because he missed it. But if she makes it, you run to the tunnel and the game is over.
Yeah, they have no timeouts.
You don't even play defense, which again is another rant. But you're exactly right.
I'm that's kind of a...
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
I mean, in that situation, when Hampson, the big 6'7 center, went to the line, Nebraska had to hope she missed the first one. Make the second one because they didn't have a timeout, so you could take it out of bounds
and throw it the length of the floor. Yeah, right.
Hope that you can throw in some kind of a three-pointer to send the game to overtime. But again, it was it made me even. I don't know. I was just as sick to my stomach watching that game as I was on Creighton men on Sunday night. I mean, BYU couldn't miss. They had kids throwing in. I mean, they had kids making shots from kids that shouldn't have even been shooting the shots. Let alone should they be. The two girls that went 4 for 4 from three-point land, and it doesn't matter what their names are, for the season, Jimmy, for the season, they were 2 of 13, and they shot 4 and made them all. And this wasn't like, God, we're down 10 and we need to come back, so just shoot it if you're open. 4 for 4, and they were 2 for 13 all year. Why? I mean, I feel bad. Why does Nebraska run into that? It seems like that's what happens. I mean, it always seems like it's your team, and I know that's not the case, but this weekend, that was the case. Baylor couldn't have played any better Sunday night, and BYU couldn't have played any better last night. And Nebraska, kind of like when they lost to Kentucky a couple of years ago when they were the number one seed, tried to make that late run from deep and just about did, but every time they got there, BYU would throw something in.
You know, what was really interesting about BYU, if they would have lost that game, they gave Nebraska quite a few opportunities. They had a really bad over and back.
Mm-hmm.
They turned the ball over. Mm-hmm. They got called for a charging foul, trying to bring up the ball up the floor. They turned it over with 8 seconds to go up. Up four. We cut it to 2 with 4.4, and then they hit. Of course, they did a lot of things well, but the key was when the girl went in there, she used the whole shot clock. She goes in and she gets her shot blocked, and with about 1.5 on the shot clock, and it goes right to a person who lays it in and gets fouled.
Yeah, and that's what made it 78-72.
Yeah. And then the point guard for Nebraska, Doug, I mean, I can't think of her name right now.
Rachel Terrio is the point guard.
Okay. Now, who was the girl that had the scored so much late in the game?
T. Laudermill took a lot of shots late in the game.
Yeah, she
did. She had the bandana.
Yeah, and she did hit just enough things and made a little spark for us and hit some free throws down the stretch to give us a chance, you know. So
there's also, and I don't know how, I don't think a lot of coaches can coach time and situation in practice, unless you're Connecticut, unless you're Notre Dame, unless you're South Sioux City back in the day, a Sandy Creek, you know, teams, Wahoo Boys. Because I think coaches are so worried about other little fundamentals, and in some cases, I mean, if your team's a 500 team, you have to worry about things like that. But Nebraska panicked and took some bad shots down the stretch as well, just because they knew they're down 7, 8, 9 points, and they need to... Well, they need to score, but they forget that just throwing up mud probably isn't going to get you the points. Nebraska had enough possessions down the stretch, but the key was they finally cut it to one, and BYU scored 8 points in like 30 seconds. They hit two threes and a breakaway, and it went from 1-9, and just as Nebraska had finally come back from that deficit, all of a sudden with 5 minutes to go, you're down 9 again. And give credit. I thought Nebraska was really – I thought they intimidated themselves with the 6'7 center, Hampson, in the middle. They got her into a couple of fouls early on, and then they kind of quit. And that was the deal with that 8-point run. She picked up her fourth foul. She's on the bench, and that's when BYU made the run. That's what makes the kick to the stomach even more painful, is that probably their best player was on the bench, and they still made that run. And, I mean, hell, this is only the third 12 seed to ever make the Sweet 16. I mean, there's just so many things that are piling. This isn't the men's tournament. And that has been said by folks that cover women's basketball. You don't have the Cinderella stories in the women's tournament that you do in the men's tournament. I mean, if you can get a 4 seed to beat a 1 seed, that's a big deal in the women's tournament. And let's face it, Nebraska would have played one more game. They would have lost to Connecticut, 98% chance of that happening. But you know what? When are you ever going to get a chance to play Connecticut again?
Yeah, they had it set up. Yeah, it was good. That's what's disappointing. It had it set up. It's going to be in Lincoln. You know, I think the NCAA even wanted this matchup, if you're honest about it. So, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, in sports, that's why you enjoy. You know, somebody once said, I had a coach one time tell me, and I remember listening to him, and he said, hey, you know, this is, sports is the only thing where, you know, grandma and grandpa can't take care of it for you. You know what I mean? They can't just come, oh, well, hey, we'll get you this. Hey, you know what? We're going to buy you this. Hey, you earn it. And, you know, if that's what happened. We go down on the court and we didn't earn it. So now BYU is going to be coming into Lincoln. And I wonder what kind of a crowd will be there and how easy it will be to get a ticket.
Can walk in for nothing. That's the unfortunate thing. You go from a sellout. And that's not all that happened. The 2 seed DePaul got beat, which, DePaul beat Duke. Duke was the 2 seed. DePaul beat the 2 seed. Texas A&M, the 3, and Connecticut, the number 1. They both play tonight. They're expected to win. But again, I go back to where nobody thought this was a big deal. If Nebraska would have been the 3 seed, they wouldn't have played BYU. They'd be playing somebody else that didn't have a 6'7 center. And obviously anybody else would have been a better matchup than BYU, the way it turns out. You don't know that ahead of time. But then Nebraska would end up playing DePaul into the Elite Eight, where you get that shot at Connecticut. You sell out Pinnacle Bank Arena both nights. I mean, there was a domino effect here. Nebraska got a bad break by being the number 4 seed. I thought they should have been the 3 seed. I said it when the brackets came out, but nobody cared. And maybe nobody cares now. I don't know. But I like to treat the guys and the gals equally when they're putting in the same work and having the same good results. So what's the difference? But the Nebraska women should have been the 3 seed and not the 4 seed. And I think one of the reasons maybe they were the 4 seed, last year they were in with A&M and Duke in the same region, beat A&M, they were the 6, and then they had to play Duke, and that's how their season ended. So maybe the folks at B thought they didn't want to match them up with Duke in the same round, even though Nebraska probably deserved to be the 3 seed and not the 4. Their record indicated it. Their conference championship indicated it. Penn State got a 3. Nebraska should have got a 3, and then they wouldn't have been in this situation. They might have lost to somebody else. I'm not saying they wouldn't have, but dynamics would have been different. So, anyway, there you go. There's the thoughts. It was, but they're all out. They're all out. Nebraska, Creighton, and the Husker men. The Husker men lose an assistant coach. And now, where will Creighton be? Tom Chattel, some of the articles already coming out today that, you know, don't pack it in on these guys. I don't know how good the Big East is going to be next year, but I would be shocked. I would be shocked if Creighton finished any higher than 4th, 5th on the men's side. I mean, you take McDermott away from this year's team. They showed you they couldn't get it done. They showed you that. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I agree wholeheartedly. I have no idea how good the Big East is going to be. I do know that Creighton will not be even close to the same athleticism that they have with McDermott out of the lineup. There was a guy that is so good. McDermott is so, you must have got a heck of a text, Doug. McDermott was so good. How you think those other guys got some pretty good open shots? I mean, you know, they're double teaming here, and then all of a sudden you get a kick out. And it's kind of fun to play basketball when you get a wide open shot and somebody's not defending you that hard.
Yeah, I you know, sometimes I get my own personal text, you know, they needed to make more shots. Well, again, yeah, with a 6'7 person in the way, they still shot 42% for the ball game. I mean, I think overall Nebraska played well enough against most teams they would have won. Just not last night when BYU shot 50 whatever percent it was from the field. They shot 54 in the first half. They shot 51% for the game.
And you know what else is interesting, Doug? You can't control free throws, but BYU just missed enough free throws to get us into the game. Back in, you know, they'd go down and miss the front end of a 1-on-1. They'd go down and miss another front end of a 1-on-1. And then all of a sudden you're going, hey, now. They go down and the girl drops two huge free throws. You know, I mean, it's over then.
Yeah, and she was a 50% or 54% free throw shooter. Yeah. It's when you make them, not how many you make sometimes. Tom Dienhart, Big Ten Network, is going to join us. We're going to talk with Giles Terzi. He's the head coach of the Tri-City Storm junior hockey team as they get ready to go on to the Nationals. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Plus, I want to get you into this frame of mind. We always talk a lot of fantasy football. We're going to have our fantasy baseball expert join us later this week. So if you've got any fantasy baseball questions for your draft, for your start this guy, for any question, whatever it may be, we're heading to RotoWire, and we'll be doing that on Thursday's show. So get your questions in before Thursday's show, and we'll get those to Derek and talk about everything that's going on with fantasy baseball and RotoWire a little bit later on this week. We'll take a break. Be back with more after this.
Johnson Law.
I've seen a lot of great-looking college football turf, so I know green. Hi, this is Greg Sharp. Going green with Johnson Lawn and Landscape isn't only the right thing to do, it's the responsible one. If your sprinkler system is not working properly, then you're wasting water. Johnson Landscape can diagnose and repair problems for a more efficient way to water your yard. Check them out at johnsonlandscape.net or call 237-LAWN.
Johnson Lawn and Landscape.
College basketball is heating up, and there's one place for all the madness. Get to Dave & Buster's, the only place to watch the games and play the games. Watch all the hoops on tons of huge HD TVs and get awesome game time food. Try the pretzel dogs or the Mountain O' Nachos. Plus, there are always new games in the Midway. Visit bestsportsbarever.com to find the Dave & Buster's location nearest you and get free gameplay. Dave & Buster's, the only place to watch the games and play the games.
Hi, folks. Terry Bradshaw here. Fan Appreciation Day is every day for my friends over at Ferguson. With Ferguson's Pro Plus, not only do you get discounts on services that help you manage and promote your company, but you can score points for cool stuff like sports gear, gadgets, trips, and more. Best of all, it's free to enroll, and you get 1,500 points for just signing up. Visit Ferguson.com and get in the game. When completions count, connect with Ferguson.
For a limited time, score double points on all American Standard products. Check out Ferguson.com/Pro Plus.
J-E-R-S-E-Y-S, go!
Lace him up.
Right away, three.
Strap it on.
Three to try to win it.
Pull it over. You're going to Jersey's, where the high-def big screens put you there, along with great food, cold drinks, great fans. It's simple. Jersey's attracts real sports fans, the kind like you, who wear the team colors on their back, their loyalty on their sleeves, bleed their team's colors. Jersey Sports Bar, Vista Point, North Kearney. It's like a courtside ticket.
For the win. Up, got it, the buzzer.
We have 32 different items, 22 different styles and models, $25,000 worth of Pella windows and doors at ShopWheelerDealer.com, and they're all marked 65% off regular retail. You'll pay just a little over 30 cents on the dollar for any number of Pella windows and doors. Log on to ShopWheelerDealer.com. Do it soon. These prices are good through Wednesday. ShopWheelerDealer.com. Click on the Pella windows and doors link, left-hand side front page, and look at all you can save.
A mix of clouds and sun develops around the area today with a high at about 44. Winds out of the northwest will meanwhile stay from 5 to 15. Now with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll drop back to 30 degrees for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 28.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on a Tuesday. More of the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament tonight. And whenever you're out and about, whether you need something for yourself, for the family, or the entire basketball crew, Big Daly's Deli is there for you. You know what it's like to load up a van full of youngsters and get them from point A to point B. They're always hungry. Well, Big Daly's Deli has a bazillion sandwiches. You can make it any way you want, hot, cold. Put all the toppings, put all the dressings, whatever it is you want, you make it your way. Two locations in Hastings downtown and across from Duncan Field and on top of the hill in Kearney, 3905 North 2nd Avenue. Can't go wrong. Put it into a combo meal. You can get some chips, a drink. You can also have the option of cookie, fruit cup, soup. It's all there for you at Big Daly's Deli. Two locations in Hastings, also in Kearney. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we are pleased to welcome back to the program Tom Dienhart from the Big Ten Network, as we've got spring football going on, and of course, we've got the NCAA Sweet 16 for the men. We're down to three teams out of the Big Ten, but all definitely have a chance in their Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games. And Tom, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
Good, doing good. Ready for some more basketball here.
Well, it's been pretty exciting. I think the teams that we figured would still be rolling out of the Big Ten are still going. Your thoughts on the way the Big Ten performed the first weekend?
Yeah, pretty much as expected. You know, I think all eyes were on, you know, the two number two seeds, Wisconsin and Michigan. Of course, Michigan State was a four seed, but probably could have been a two seed if it's not high with the way it was playing. So I think everybody expected those three schools to advance to this weekend, and lo and behold, that's happened. You know, conversely, Iowa, Nebraska, Ohio State, I mean, not a big shock they didn't make it past that opening weekend. You know, good seasons, but they just ran into some tough matchups along the way, particularly I think Ohio State run into that Dayton team that was underrated, underseeded as an 11. And of course, how about that Baylor team Nebraska lost to? I mean, they're on a roll and maybe one of the most dangerous teams left.
Let's get your take on Nebraska. I mean, we've been talking about what a magical run it was, and then it just didn't go their way against Baylor in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But where the Big Ten kind of sees Nebraska at right now after this amazing second half of the season they had?
Got to be on the rise. I mean, most of that personnel's back for next season, which is great. Again, you look back, this team is 0-4 at the Big Ten to start the conference season, and what, they go 11-3 down the stretch. And then they had Ohio State beaten in the Big Ten tourney, blowing, what, an 18-point lead. So, you know, Tim Miles has his program on the uptick. The players believe in what he's preaching. And maybe most important is Miles can go on the recruiting trail and actually show tangible results that you can come to Lincoln and you can win, play at a high level, and go to the big dance if you come play basketball here. So, again, that's ultra valuable to have that tangible proof that it's not, he's not just selling the hope and promise, but he actually can sell results at this point, which is great.
On the other end of that spectrum, we're talking with senior writer of BTN, Tom Dienhart, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It would appear that there are problems at Indiana. They did not want to accept a postseason bid. They're having some transfers, and this is after having a couple of really nice seasons here for Coach Crean. Is there cause for a concern with Indiana?
I don't think so. In some ways, it's probably an addition by some traction, honestly. Austin Etherington was just a bit player who's got 1 year of eligibility left. And then you have the Jeremy Hollowell kid. You know, he's sort of been in the doghouse the moment he got to Bloomington. He had some issues off the court that kept him, causing him actually to miss games as a freshman and a sophomore. So he didn't look like he was going to fit in. So, and the big one's Noah Vonleh, of course. He's not transferring. He's turning pro. Again, that's not a shock either. So, there's attrition, and it's never a great thing, but still, from Indiana's standpoint, it's not like you're losing any of the real core guys to transfers. Yogi Ferrell will be back. Troy Williams will be back. And those are key players that Crean can build on next year. And he's welcomed in a pretty good recruiting class, one of the best players in the country, and James Blackman's coming in. So, he still got a lot to work with there.
Hey, this is Jim Langan. Two questions for you, and then I'll let you comment on both. I thought Iowa
in the Tennessee matchup, but we look at it now and how close this was to an Iowa-Michigan matchup, because I think Iowa would have ran the table just like Tennessee did, the winner of that game, and how close it was. And then also how fortunate Wisconsin was to be playing in Milwaukee, because it looked to me like Oregon did everything they could the first half to almost get a 20-point lead. And you know, Wisconsin did some things well just to make it a 14-pointer. Go ahead and comment on both, please.
Yeah, it was obviously big for the Badgers to play in Milwaukee, just about an hour from Madison. That was obviously a massive Wisconsin audience there. Helped spark them. You're right. They were down by 12 points at halftime for a while. It looked pretty dire. Gave up, I think, 49 points in the first half. They flipped the script in the second half. I think it was 48-20 at the outscored Oregon. And I tell you what, it's kind of good to have games like that. And nobody's going to make a deep run in the tournament without facing some adversity, some close calls. And maybe this is one of those close calls, obviously, for Wisconsin. This is a talented offensive team. They're not as good defensively as they have been in a bowl run, but offensively, they can score, they can run, they can play a lot of different styles. And that's going to bail them out here down the stretch here, especially coming up against this Baylor team that's long, athletic, blows out on the shooters quickly and plays a pretty confounding 1-3-1 zone. So the ability to score in a variety of ways, shooting the three, working off screens, working off the dribble is going to serve Wisconsin well. Well, you talk about Iowa. Iowa getting beat. You want to talk about that, or Tennessee, or Tennessee against Michigan?
Yes, I was talking about how close Iowa came. You know, they got beat just right. I mean, that game could have gone either way, right? At the play-in game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tale of two teams going in opposite directions. I mean, I think Iowa was 1-6 in the last seven coming into that game. Tennessee had a lot of momentum, and it's a veteran team. It's a well-coached team, but by Konzo Martin, they've got some size. They're a lot like Baylor. They don't shoot the ball real well, but they rebound and defend and can crash the board, so it's a lot of ferocity. So, yeah, it was a close call for Iowa. It would have been nice to have gotten over that hump. But now you look at Tennessee, they're about like Baylor, 11 seed. That's playing well over its seeding, and it's going to be an awfully dangerous matchup for Michigan here over Minneapolis this weekend.
Couple of minutes left here with senior writer for the Big Ten Network, Tom Dienhart, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. One of your articles was, could three Big Ten teams make the Final Four? What do you think? Who's got the best chance? And I don't disagree. I think all three definitely have a chance to be playing in Dallas.
It's wide open, isn't it? I think most people still have Florida as a favorite to get there. Arizona, a lot of people on Kentucky's bandwagon. Of course, Louisville, the 4 seed. There's a chance. There doesn't look like there's a great collection of teams out there. There's a lot of parity, it seems, within about 5, 6, 7, or 8 squads. So, yeah, you have to like the Big Ten's chances maybe of doing – it's only been done once before, going back to 1985 when the Big East sent three teams there in St. John's, Georgetown, and Villanova. I think, again, the Wisconsin's got the toughest road here. I'm beginning with that game against Baylor. They also are in the same bracket with Arizona. And then Michigan's right there. They probably have the second toughest run, I think, with Tennessee. Of course, Louisville's on their side of the bracket as well. If they beat Tennessee and Louisville beats Kentucky, that's their matchup to get to the Final Four. We all know how good Louisville is and how good it's playing right now. I think Michigan State may have the best chance of these three teams. Their region in the East doesn't look too overly daunting. I know they have Virginia, obviously the number one seed coming up. But again, Virginia looks like they're a beatable team. They play good defense, but I tell you what, Michigan State, like Louisville, is playing maybe its best basketball as we continue to wade deeper into March here, and that's a good sign for Tom Izzo's crew.
Tom, before we let you go, spring football practice has started in some places. It's just about ready to get underway in others. Any interesting nuggets that we need to know about?
Yeah, you know, Michigan State and Iowa kick off this week. I think they're the last two Big Ten teams to get started. Michigan, obviously, the offensive line, new offensive coordinator, that's going to be a storyline that continues to get played out all the way up until August here, given Michigan's struggles last year. Again, their inability to run the ball, and again, the firing of Al Borges and bringing Doug Nussmeier from Alabama to run the offense. So that's a huge storyline. Ohio State's always going to be a big story. Urban Meyer, of course, he brought in a new defensive coordinator. And Chris Ash from Arkansas, who was at Wisconsin. So you know, the Buckeyes got to fix their defense if they want to get back to that Big Ten title game. So that's another interesting storyline I think fans should keep their eye on as well. And, you know, for Nebraska, I think I'm curious to see how the quarterbacks continue to develop. Imagine Tommy Armstrong is still the guy. But it'll be interesting to see how he continues to evolve. And I want to see that young defense. I tell you what, it seems like every year we say this year the defense is going to be good. I guess I think this may really be the year that it's good. So many young players the last couple of years that are maturing. That front seven should be pretty sulky, you would think, for Nebraska. So it's going to be fun to watch them this spring, too.
Yeah, I think we're going to go back to the days of when Bo Pelini just got to Nebraska, where the defense had to carry the team as opposed to the offense having to do that here the last couple, three seasons. So it's always a fun time of the year. Tom, we'll let you get back to your day. Always appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, a little football, a little basketball, and let's keep our eye on the Big Ten. Thanks so much.
Fun time of year. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Take care. Tom Dienhardt, senior writer, senior producer for the Big Ten Network here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So glad to have him on. You know, I guess I hadn't even really, till I was doing some research for the interview here, hadn't really thought about three Big Ten teams in the Final Four. But you could have maybe the Florida-UCLA winner. I'll say Florida, but since you're pulling for UCLA, and then Michigan State, Michigan, and Wisconsin all in the Final Four. I mean, that's not that far-fetched. You got two seeds and a Michigan State team that most people pick not only to get there but to win it all.
Yeah, Michigan State, if people are thinking they're the best team, if you look at it, they probably have the hardest challenge to get there because they do have to play a number one seeded Virginia, and then they're going to have to play the winner of Louisville, Kentucky. I believe that's correct. You know, so, I mean, is that wrong?
They'll play Iowa State or Connecticut.
Yeah, they play Iowa State or Connecticut. Their very first game is going to be a tough one to get in. Then after that, they have an easy game. And then you look at another one when you got the 10 and the 11 seeds, Dayton and Stanford. No one's expecting them. They just think that's a game that's going to be played, and whoever wins is going to be able to beat those people. But, you know, Stanford in UCLA, I just like the way that those two people are playing right now, and I think they're under the radar compared to the other teams. They're talking about the Big Ten teams, and I think these people are under the radar. And Las Vegas only has Florida, a four-point favorite over UCLA. I like that. They're trying to get you to take Florida, or they would have made that 6.5 or 7. They would want the other side. So, you know, that's kind of interesting. And UCLA, it's kind of interesting that UCLA, to me, that UCLA can go out there and what they did to Oregon and how bad they beat Oregon in the Pac-10 tournament and how they're under the radar. They haven't had a close game, and neither is Baylor. And look, the only team that's beaten Baylor lately is Iowa State, and what are they doing? They're still alive, and I think people would be talking about Iowa State except they had a player get hurt. You know, one of their players gets hurt. So it's very interesting, but I don't think it's chalk this year. I don't think it's the favorites that everybody are talking about. I think it is wide open on this deal.
And because the odds of all the Big Ten teams winning this next game or all losing, you would take. But you could have Baylor, Connecticut, Kentucky all playing hot as mid-range seeds, could all advance on. Then you will obviously have the Dayton-Stanford winner. I mean, you could have four seeds of six or higher in the Elite Eight.
Oh, I think it's very possible that that would happen. I would be surprised if we don't have at least two.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. It's fun times. You'll hear it here on ESPN Radio. When we come back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, we're going to talk a little junior hockey, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, with everyday low, hassle-free prices and over 500 vehicles available. You can stop by South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or see their complete inventory at thinkmidway.com. For every vehicle that is sold this month, money being donated to St. Jude's Research. That's what the folks do at Midway. Not only do they help their customers, they help the community. Midway Auto Dealerships, the place to be. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, or online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way.
And now, another golf confessional brought to you by Golfsmith. A woman tells us that she recently told her husband she was getting her hair done, but instead went to Golfsmith and tried the latest clubs from TaylorMade. The expert club fitters at Golfsmith recommended the SLDR driver, TaylorMade's longest driver ever. She loved it. and the guaranteed lowest prices it came with. And when she got home, did her husband notice that her hair looked the same? Please. The guaranteed lowest prices, part of the Golfsmith fairway. Golfsmith, anything for golf.
Wise man once said, if you're going to do a job, do it right. He also said, if you're going to change your oil, get Napa's $20.99 oil change special. Okay, I said that one, but it's a wise call, my friend. For just $20.99, you get 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a Napa Silver oil filter. Napa know-how. So wise up and get the Napa oil change special. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, sale price does not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 3/31.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sun develops around the area today with a high at about 44. Winds out of the northwest. Meanwhile, stay from 5 to 15. Now, with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll drop back to 30 degrees for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 28.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday program. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Yesterday we asked you, with their core returning, was Creighton's season a success despite losing in the round of 32? 67% voted yes, 33% voted no. I put it on the no side. I was negative Nancy yesterday, so there you go. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question today, when will a 16 seed beat a number one seed? Within the next 5 years, within the next 10 years, someday, but it'll be beyond 10 years. And you can't say never because never is eternity. So there's always been some close ones. But it's got to happen someday. Unfortunately, it'll probably be more because of misseeding than actual. Because, I mean, if you could guarantee the four worst teams were the 16 seeds, I'm pretty sure it would never happen. I mean, when Princeton played Georgetown, the closest 16 won, and then there has been an overtime, one or two, I can't remember, but there has been overtime 16 versus one. But Princeton wasn't a 16. It was because they were Princeton. The style they played, they weren't a 16 seed, but they just about upset Georgetown. So someday, somehow, it's going to happen because some team is going to shoot 60-some percent and keep it in the low, you know, keep it in the 40s to 50, and they'll find a way. They'll find a way. Freak things have to happen, but it will happen sometime.
Yeah, and you're right about it. It's got to be a misseeding. It's got to be where a one seed dug, should have never got it. They're really a three seed. You know what I mean? And they ended up getting on the one line, and then you have a 16 seed that's got some athleticism and started playing pretty well towards the end of the season. You know, somebody like a Stephen F. Austin, who was a 14 seed this year, somebody like that that gets on that 16 level and can do that. You know, Jeff, looking up, I can't remember, I'm going to say it's about 2003. I mean, it could be Holy Cross played Kansas, I think. And I'm just guessing it was Holy Cross. I think that game maybe was a one-point game or something.
Holy Cross had the lead in the last 10 minutes of the game.
Okay, and it was very close. I mean, I'm talking about, and I'm like you, Doug. It was like with 2 minutes to go, it's still no one was really comfortable with it.
Exactly. Yeah. So there have been a few. There have been a few out there. Well, the winter sports season has wrapped up on the high school scene for most athletes, and now they're moving into spring. But the season is extended for the Tri-City Storm Junior High School team. I think folks have heard of them. They just don't know a lot about them, but they've had a very good season, and they're going to get to play in the Toyota USA Hockey National Championships, which get underway tomorrow in Omaha. There are 32 teams from across the country representing 20 states, and Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, Cozad all have athletes on this Tri-City Junior Storm Hockey team, and Giles Terzi is the coach of the team, and he joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning, and congratulations on the good season.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I think let's just start off here and get folks to understand about your team. How long has the Junior Storm been going on, and how did you guys build it to be as good as they were this year?
Well, this is my fifth season coaching the team, and before that they played in a Midwest high school hockey league, which was Nebraska, Missouri, Iowa, and I think Kansas was involved as well. So we've just been building on, with teams that I've had the past seasons, and just culminated into a successful year for us this year.
How does this team come together? Where do these kids find a way to get on a high school hockey team and build this team?
Well, we have a pretty good program there at the Viero Event Center, and then the kids just come up through the ranks, and they just the final team is our high school team to play on, and then after that, of course, if they want to play in college or something like that, but this is the end of the road, so to speak, in our league that we have there at the event center.
This is not how many I'll start with this how many kids do you, not just maybe on your team, but are even younger, how many kids are active in playing hockey in the area?
That one I don't really know for sure, but we probably have maybe, I would say, 200 kids probably involved through all of the different ranks of, the levels of kids playing hockey.
Giles Terzi is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He is the coach of the Tri-City Storm Junior Hockey Team. Tell us a little bit about this season, how it went for you.
Well, it's been pretty exciting. If you had told me we would have finished first overall this year, I would have told you were crazy. But I knew we had a good team going in, but it was really exciting. We finished 18-3-3. We came up short in our playoff season, but got almost all the way to the end. Just played some good teams, and we just couldn't pull it in the end there. But got a great bunch of kids. They work hard, and we basically win games through attrition. They got good conditioning. They condition with the Storm trainer over the season, and that just helps us. For a successful season.
Hey, Coach, why won't you give us a couple of the kids' names, or as far down as you want to go, where they're from and who's on your team?
Well, my leading scorer and captain of the team is Garrison Lowe, and he finished the season with 26 goals, 19 assists, first overall on our team, and first overall in the whole league as far as goals and assists go and points. My goalie, Bryce Nemeth, he's from Cozad. Most of the kids are from Kearney. And my second leading scorer is John Stewart. He has 13 goals and 20 points total throughout the year. So,
your season is a little bit different. Just to get together to practice is one thing, but talk about the league you're in. How many schools are playing high school hockey? And if I've got this right, is it you, Omaha, Lincoln, or is there a broader spectrum here?
Yeah, it's Omaha Lincoln. It's the Omaha High School League, and there's 9 teams this year. When I first started coaching, there was 13 teams, and it just dwindled down to 9. But they're from all over the Omaha area. One team from Lincoln, and Elkhorn, Papillion or some of the teams from Omaha, Creighton Prep, and then us out here. So
word is, and we're talking here for another minute with Giles Terzi. He's the head coach of the Tri-City Storm junior team, is that this will definitely be a step up in class this week going to the national tournament. How good are the teams that you're going to be facing? And tell us a little bit about this tournament.
Well, it's real exciting. I'm a little nervous, but, you know, I think if we just continue to play like we have been playing the last six or so games towards the end of the season, I think we'll do pretty good. You know, I'm not worried about the talent as long as we show up to play. You know, don't give them anything. You know, we should come out and at least win a couple games, I think. I mean, you know, even if we don't win any games, you know, I think it's still a successful year. I mean, even to get invited to this is pretty special. And, I mean, as a coach, you always want to win all your games. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, we made it. And, you know, I think it's something that these kids can take away and hopefully down the road they can just look back and just know that they put a good effort and just played some more hockey.
If someone's new to the area and wants to get involved, say, for next season, maybe they've moved into the area from a hockey hotbed and have some young kids, how can they go about that?
Well, they could just contact the arena, the Viero Event Center, and get on their website. And I don't know it off the top of my head, just probably Viero Event Center. And there's a link there to the Storm or even the Storm's website, and they could just go from there and just find a phone number or a contact name and just go from there.
Well, and familiarize yourself with our listeners a little bit more, too, because as we know, you don't just drop a hockey coach, doesn't just grow up in Kearney, Nebraska, at least not yet. What's your background?
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, and I moved here 14 years ago. I never actually played any high school hockey. I started late, but you know, I love the game. You know, it's the best sport in the world. You know, it just the team camaraderie, just the action. I mean, it's, you know, there's just nothing. You can say everything about hockey. I mean, it's just a great sport. But just watching it, reading about it, just learning how to coach, yeah, it's just been really exciting and actually truly blessed to just be a part of this to this whole experience, really.
Well, South Carolina is the first game, then Utah, then South Dakota. Do you have any idea who the best team is that's coming into this tournament, or is this a coin flip type of deal?
Well, I think maybe a team that might give us some trouble is the Brookings team, but you know, to be honest, I have no idea how these teams fare, you know, as far as playing hockey. But I'm sure they're wondering the same thing about us, too. So, just like I said, as long as we show up to play and, you know, it's anybody's game.
All right, Coach, we wish you the best of luck. It was great finding out a little bit more. I know it's been a great season for you, so hopefully this will continue to grow, and it's nice to know that there's just another group of great athletes and winners in the listening area. So best of luck this week.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Take care. That's Giles Terzi. He is the head coach of the Tri-City Junior Storm High School team. Creighton Hammock, Josiah Adamson, Trey Hibbard, Trevor Hibbard, Austin Hinkleman, Chris Lawson, Teresa Luffelholtz, Garrison Lowe, Brandon Meredith, Sam Moore, Bryce Nemeth, Cole Schultz, Jack Shea, John Stewart, and Ian Stuchlik are on the team, and hopefully I didn't mess up more than one of those names. So those are the members of the Junior Storm. Best of luck. They play at 3 tomorrow against the Fusion from South Carolina.
That's a long drive for South Carolina. I bet they flew. What do you think?
Skated.
Skated over.
I skated in.
There you go.
Could have skated in. Going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia and the rest of the day's sports after this.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So
if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need ReFirm Now, found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Ferguson.
Hi, it's the Herd. Roses are perfect to send for any occasion, obviously. Birthdays, anniversaries, to brighten somebody's day, or just because. And when it comes to quality and value, 1-800-Flowers.com delivers the best. The roses are always beautiful, backed by their 100% smile guarantee. With roses, numbers are important. 12's great, 24 even better, 36, whoa! That's why 1-800-Flowers creates this amazing exclusive offer for my listeners. 36 stunning multicolored roses. Just $36, that's it. An abundant bouquet of 3 dozen roses at this incredible value. That's a 45% savings. But remember, 36 roses for $36, that offer only available for a limited time. So you better order it today. 36 roses, beautiful. To order it, go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my first name.
Come on!
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
A mix of clouds and sun develops around the area today with a high at about 44. Winds out of the northwest will meanwhile stay from 5 to 15. Now with partly cloudy skies, tonight we'll drop back to 30 degrees for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 28.
No, I can't be the only one. I bet his heart's all over the world tonight. With the love of their life, who feels what I feel when I'm
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Tuesday. Tomorrow, we'll be talking with the head baseball coach at UNLV among our guests. We've got Loper Link tomorrow as well to catch you up with what's going on at UNK, even though they're at spring break. It's Tuesday. Why not head on into the Chicken Coop? It's wing basket night. The Chicken Coop is the place to be where you can get 10 flame-broiled wings with your choice of any one of their great flavors for just $5. If you want to come in for the fun, the Chicken Coop in Kearney is the place to watch all of your favorite sports, basketball, hockey, whatever it may be. Baseball season is here. You can play pool, darts, foosball. They've got arcade games for your friends, your family. It doesn't matter. For family fun, drinks, and food, head to the Chicken Coop every Tuesday night for Wing Basket Night. The Chicken Coop is at 2115 Avenue A in Kearney. The Chicken Coop, the place to be. Tuesday nights, it's Wing Basket Night. Wednesday night, it's Big Burger Night. And, of course, great affordable lunches every single day. Open 7 days a week for you at the Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A in Kearney. Shaquille O'Neal, Grant Hill, Daryl Griffith headline the College Basketball Hall of Fame class for 2014. They'll be joined at the induction ceremony in November by Zelmo Beatty from Prairie View A&M, Dale Brown and Gary Williams, coaches of LSU and Maryland, Glenn Wilkes Sr., and the founder of the five-star basketball camp, Howard Garfinkel, will be going in. So quite the class there in November of 2014. Some other sports notes outside of what we've already talked about today. There is going to be plenty of baseball. The Huskers, the Lopers, and the Broncos are all involved in baseball today. Nebraska will be playing at Wichita State tonight. UNK is on the road. They have games today and tomorrow in Colorado as they take on Colorado Mines. And for Hastings College, they are at York today. So that's what's going on with baseball. Not a whole lot of other things that are going on in the world of sports that we haven't already touched on today. Anything else, Jimmy, that we missed today? I've got gymnastics. The women are going out for the Huskers. They're going to be competing in the regionals at Seattle. So there you go.
No, I don't think we missed anything. Hey, no, The Masters is coming up in a couple weeks, so we'll be able to get into that. And I think, you know, that's about the only thing I have, Doug, that I can think that's really exciting. It's this NCAA tournament in basketball sure takes the top seed, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's some stuff going on. There's some things. There's some stuff.
We were just hoping that, like, one of these teams we'd be able to talk about from Nebraska.
I know. It's depressing.
How about you think? I mean, what about Kansas? What about the state of Kansas? What do you think? I mean, you know, if they got a show like this in Kansas, what are they talking about? Kansas State and Kansas and Wichita State.
They're all gone.
Yeah, they lose a 1-2 and an 8.
Job Midwest. Way to step up. Way to go. Way to be mad. Of all the – UCLA is your pick. But let's see. Of over four seeds, we've got Dayton, Stanford, Connecticut, Baylor, Kentucky, and Tennessee. So six of the 16 are above a four seed. Who are you rooting for out of those?
You know, I guess Baylor. I mean, why not? You know, I mean, I thought they played well. They looked really well. I know that. I mean, why be mad at them because they beat us? I mean, why be upset at that? They seem to, you know. And another thing that's kind of interesting is this poor coach. Everybody talks about this. Well, you know, they got a pretty good team, but they're not coached very well. You know, I mean, that's what they say. They're not coached very well. Well, I don't know. I mean, to me, I don't think he did too bad. They seem to be okay. You know what I mean? And, you know, there's other programs that their coach gets all kinds of accolades for. And I kind of think, why not let this guy win one? You know, so, hey, I'm – you know, another thing, Wisconsin. Here's another thing about Wisconsin. I thought this is interesting. You and I had a discussion about this last year, about how Wisconsin plays a little slow and the tempo is slow. Well, Wisconsin had to play a different direction than they wanted
not
to play.
Anymore.
They've got the tempo up. So when you have the athletes, you want to play at a high level. When you don't have them, you want to get the tempo down so you might upset somebody. You know, you don't want to have 1,000 possessions. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how these teams, if they can kind of get somebody like a Florida in an athletic game where they don't miss shots. Because if it gets into rebounding, I think Florida was going to win a lot of games when it really gets in. And Baylor's the same way. If it gets into a rebounding thing, those two teams really rebound. So somebody's got to shoot the ball well to beat Florida and to beat Baylor. You've got to shoot it well. If you don't shoot it well, you will lose.
Well, let's have some fun.
Okay.
I've got 800 fantasy Mandalay Bay dollars.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you 100 for each game. And you just tell me who you want.
Okay.
Florida is favored by 5. I'm going to say 5. It's 4.5, 5 over UCLA. You're taking?
UCLA.
Dayton is a 2.5-point dog to Stanford.
I'm taking Stanford.
Wisconsin, 3 over Baylor.
I want Baylor.
Arizona, 6 to 6.5. We'll go 6.5, San Diego State.
I want Arizona.
That's the end of your San Diego State line?
Well, I'm just telling you.
I'm
just taking who I want.
Iowa State, 1 over Connecticut.
A UConn all the way.
Michigan State, 1 over Virginia.
I'm taking Virginia.
Michigan, 2 over Tennessee.
I'll take Tennessee.
And Louisville, 5 over Kentucky.
I'm better go with Louisville.
So do you think in your mind you took opposite the public on every one of those?
Tried to.
I mean, is that...
I try to. The Louisville, Kentucky is really hard for me to – I think that's going to be about a 50-50 thing with the public. What do you think, guys? Am I wrong on that?
I think they're going to load up on Louisville.
You think so? Well, I thought Kentucky just because there's a few people that have followed Kentucky basketball over a lot of years that maybe they had to be careful with that spread. They made it 5.
Let's do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia before we run out of time on this Tuesday program. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. If you have a phone and you know how to dial that phone, do it now. If you haven't won in the last 2 months, you are eligible for a $25 gift card from Troutman's. You know, they showed last night during the NIT how the last 4 NIT champions have done. Pretty scary because it was Dayton, Stanford, Wichita State, and I can't remember the 4th one. I think it might have been whoever won it just last year, but they've won it three of the last four NIT champions. I mean, they just showed where their program has went since then.
Did Kentucky not make the NCAA tournament last year?
No, they were in the NIT and lost to Robert Morris. They had all those freshmen.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Right. Uh-huh.
They had lost all the great players off that national championship team. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with? Doug and Daddy Show.
Anybody? Bob Davis.
Hello. Okay, let's get things going here. I got a question for you. And again, the last time that we had producer Jeff come up with the question, the very first caller got it right. So I said, you know, we got to back off on Jeff for a while. So here we go again. Now, Jeffrey, if I've got this right, because nowhere did you actually write the question down, the question is what? Why don't you give the question?
All right. In the defending champion Louisville right now has a chance to win a Sweet 16 game. The defending champion hasn't won a Sweet 16 game other than Florida when they went back-to-back since which team?
Okay, so the last national champion not named Florida to win a Sweet 16 game the next year. That's
correct.
That's it. Okay. What's your guess?
Did I? No, we got the caller.
For the caller to take a stab here.
Sorry.
And it's one of the Sweet 16 teams this year, right? I mean, because one of them, is it one of this year's Sweet 16 teams? Or we don't know that.
It is, yeah.
It is. Okay. So we've got a chance here. What's your guess, caller?
Kentucky.
It is not Kentucky. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. This was the last national champion to win a Sweet 16 game in the next year's tournament, not named Florida. Who are we chatting with?
What state?
And your guess is?
Michigan State.
Yeah, I gave it away with the clue. I know I did that, but that's okay. Somebody's got to win. You're the winner, and we appreciate it. And we, you know, you can do some cartwheels outside if you want to, or just run around a block. No problem. Or just put your thumbs in the air and say, hey, I got a $25 gift card to Troutman's. Hang on the line. Jeffrey will get you hooked up, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Michigan State back in 2002. I think it was.
Was the hint you gave him that they're in the tournament this year?
Yeah.
Because I guess Duke, which was incorrect, but they weren't in the tournament. And that would have not been one of my guesses. And I wasn't going to guess one of these teams that never won it. UConn was a possibility.
And it's hard to believe that, you know, over a decade, you know, the national champ doesn't just come right back and win a couple, three games the next year.
But in that time. Hey, another trivia question would have been like, when was the last time North Carolina, Duke, and Kansas were out, and none of them made the Sweet 16. None of the three. I'd like to know what year that would have been. Yeah, or if we can even look that up.
But it wasn't that long ago.
You don't think so?
Because I think the year Kansas got beat by Northern Iowa, Duke got upset early. North Carolina was down there a couple years. I don't know.
Remember that kid from Northern Iowa that pulled up and shot that three with about 20 seconds to go?
Yeah, Abernathy or whatever his name was.
He pulled up. There wasn't a person in the crowd that goes, shoot it, shoot it. Yes.
No, yes.
His parents were saying, don't shoot it, don't shoot it. He pulled up and rammed it. Gave him a 4-point lead.
Well, that's going to wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show for today. By the way, I don't know that we ever did give this stat. We have our leader. We talked about Terry from Hastings is the leader right now, the Doug and Daddy tournament bracket. But of the 388 entries, 153 took Florida. 73 people, which is astonishing to me, took Michigan State. Arizona, 36 people took them. Louisville, 30 people took them. And then you go all the way down to Virginia. 10 people took Virginia to win this. Kentucky was taken by 2 people. Iowa State by 3. Wisconsin by 4. Michigan by 8 people. And then we had 2 entrants that went way off the radar. 1 person took Connecticut. And then Jimmy Lyon is the only person to take UCLA. And dare I say, that would be up there with picking the Super Bowl right before the season.
No,
you would be on the Mount Rushmore of prognostications if UCLA wins this.
That's funny.
I'm just saying that's the case. Hey, we want to thank all the folks that joined us on today's program, including Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, senior writer, and Giles Terzi of the Tri-City Junior Storm Hockey. Best of luck to them at the national tournament. We will talk UNLV baseball, Loper sports, and a whole lot more tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.